Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary. That mofo and button.
Okay.
Mr. So Robert.
We're not going to have video, which the people are going to be sad because we're pretty good to look at, especially the fact that we have a wonderful guest today. And he's one of the more... Where do I want to go with this?
I don't know, but I'm letting you get run with it. I want to see where you go.
He's
with it.
One of the more... God, what's the word? He's one of the more desirable men in pickleball. Is that fair?
That's not where I thought you were
physically?
Going.
Physically?
Physically, emotionally, yes. Mentally, everything about this guy is desirable. Not to me, right? But to the general population loves AJ Kohler. And, you know, I just feel lucky to have him on the podcast here in San Clemente at MLP.
Robert, I named my child after him. I mean, like, what else can you say? I mean, that's kind of the weight that he carries, is that I was willing to name my child after him, and I am not upset with the decision.
So
you guys are too kind.
Are you guys really? Are you guys going to call Adam Jr. AJ, or are you going to call him Adam?
No, it's AJ.
God, I love it.
Yeah, it's AJ.
Look at that.
I'm not going to call him Jr. I'm not going to call him Adam. I'm going to call him AJ.
Oh, look. We've got Mr. Pickle Pod.
Yeah, we got Gucci Zane in the house.
We'll let you sub in. We just pressed start, but we'll let you sub in here in a minute.
That's right.
We'd love to.
So Adam got unbelievably lucky in this game. Jesse sat on the sidelines.
We knew that was going to happen, though.
So Zane just was talking about the 50K match that we just witnessed that Adam was a part of. It was Adam and Tim Parks, owner of the Hard Eights, versus Richie Tuazon, owner of BLQK, and Jesse Irvin. And Adam, it was tight, but you pulled it out.
Yeah, so I got a little winded a couple times. I probably went for too much a couple times, but you know, I was AJ Kohler crab walking along the kitchen and just doing my thing. So it was good to get back out there.
You looked like the stone of old, and I was confident going in. I just remember it was they switched sides. They did MLP scoring. Stone looks at me at 11-9. Robert's on the other side, but he looks at me and goes, I'm seeing stars right now. He's like, he said, I'm dizzy right now.
It's literally
like
11-9.
20 points. Well, 20 points into this match.
I warmed up with your cousin. Dizzy. I warmed up with your cousin for 30 minutes, and that was a mistake. Thomas Wilson,
You looked weathered.
Yes.
I saw you an hour before the match. You looked pretty exhausted.
Weathered is a good word.
Yeah.
It explains a lot. But, hey, at the end of the day, you got it done. That's all that matters. But I was just thinking, like, watching, I was like, man, like, it got to like 16-all, 17-all, something like around that, and like there's a lot of chirping at the beginning of the game, but it was pretty quiet towards the end.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I'll give Mr. Richie Tuazon a little credit. Yeah. He you know, he didn't do anything spectacular, but he dug quite a bit of my crap. Yeah. When I was stepping over with the forehand, I was rolling it pretty heavy, and Richie did a fine job. So it was a pretty evenly matched matchup, and you know.
It wasn't, though. Like, I was talking to Ignatowicz before, and he was just like, he was just like, dude, this isn't fair. Like, of course Adam's going to win. Like, it's
But I will say, Richie is better than Tim. He's more consistent. Tim has some good athleticism and some nice shots, but his consistency.
It's lacking.
Yes, it is definitely lacking.
Yeah, but I think Ignatowicz is just looking at you versus Jesse, and like, maybe he didn't know their levels, but you definitely. Like in that matchup, Jesse has to take more balls, and she wasn't able to.
Right. Yeah. So that was. Yeah. That's the
determining factor.
Right. So
you took over.
Well, it's basically. I think what it really comes down to is just elite athleticism and foot speed.
Yeah.
And you know.
Oh my God.
And I think that's just what it came down to.
No, honestly,
I just realized what you said after a second. Yeah.
He was zoned out, then he was like, hold on, what?
I thought you were going to say something genuine, and then I heard that.
Nope, not genuine at all.
Pretty genuine, though.
So AJ, so the word on the street is you got a little new deal in the works here with your Hard 8 buddy, Riley, jumping on that Takea bandwagon. Tell me about that.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, it was in the works for a while. I'm not going to lie. It was probably far too long that it was going on. I started talking to Ken after... Coopy and I won Takea in November. It kind of, you know, opened up right about there, and he said, "Hey, I'm interested." And I said, "All right." I said, "All right, give me $1 million."
Yeah, I mean, you're a tough negotiator.
He said, "That's ridiculous." he said, "You're worth at least 10." And I said, "I know." And he said, I'm kidding, but I'll give you some free water bottles. And we'll
64 ounce.
And I said, I'm in.
Yeah.
That's fair. There you go.
So it was a long time coming. Yeah, Takea is a great company. They're coming into pickleball, obviously. And I know you guys are Selkirk boys now, and you guys make all right stuff, but Takea is coming strong. They're going to make some sweet paddles. And psyched. Got to debut it the last few weekends. And
sweet.
I'm starting to find my old self. It's been a lackluster spring so far, but I'm finding my old crab again.
You look pretty damn good with it in singles. We were just talking about it. I mean, I've seen you play a lot of singles, played you in singles a little bit. Usually you go with the little backhand drop, but you're right. Ripping twoies, baby.
I know.
I was like, oh my. I like literally looked up. I was like, did I eat? I had to rewind it. I was like, did AJ Kohler just hit a two-handed backhand winner cross court with dip on it? I was like, jeez.
I mean, I have that, don't I? That's in my bag.
Apparently you do.
You have everything in your bag, AJ. Yeah. And you know what? I am very proud of you for restraining. You only threw up a couple lobs this weekend instead of every other shot. So you know what? That's pretty good stuff.
Yeah. You know, I want to be offensive. My goal in pickleball, if it hasn't been made clear, is to be offensive with every shot. I don't want there to be a single ball where I can't be offensive with it.
Uh-huh.
Hasn't lent to very good results recently.
Yeah, but
I've
know.
Been trying the experiment. You'll notice around 3-4, around 4-5, I'll throw up a lob. Score-wise, I did it about every match. It was 4-4, 4-5. I threw up a lob and missed. I think I missed most of them. Yeah. And I didn't lob after that.
Yeah.
So,
well, you got to test it. You got to show them it. You got to show them you have it.
I'm trying to work it back into my arsenal. There's a lot of other stuff going on. But it's going to come back.
I thought old AJ was definitely here this weekend. You know, I mean, when you're offensive with every shot, it's just a peaks and valleys types of style.
You so, gotta ride
you know,
it.
You can't have.
I love that though.
Yeah, it's all
I
good.
I love the peaks and valleys.
The highs and lows, baby.
It's like a roller coaster.
Ride the freaking wave.
Yeah. No, it was a fun weekend, and I'm glad. Honestly, the ironic thing is, the only person that could get Tim Parks a win this weekend was Adam Stone.
Someone not in the tournament.
in the tournament.
Yeah.
Obviously, the hard eights, we kind of fell on our face there in the group stage. We had a look at going through to the quarterfinals, and we let it slip through our fingers. And I think for all the players, I could say like we wanted to win so bad because our owners were like so invested.
Sure,
you know, Tim and Rick, they probably treated us better than any owners I think, in the system or whatever. So we wanted to win so bad. Like, I wanted to win so bad for them, too, because they were there, throwing player parties for us, hooking us up with great places, on the sidelines with us, cheering. They brought all their fans out, had everyone dressed in pink, and we couldn't get it done. So, we wanted it bad, but it didn't materialize. Another one and two weekend, and we'll have to move on.
Yeah,
I
was talking with the guys, Tim Parks and Rick Chan, absolute studs, the pickleball Illuminati, the behind the scenes guys.
Yes.
They do it big, they do it right. And yeah, it was, I kind of associate it with our team in these three tournaments as the last handful of tournaments Deckel and myself played, where I played good a couple times, he played good a few times. We couldn't play good at the same time, and that is just. That's life. So it's a tough break, and fresh start here in July, new draft, new team. So all good.
Yeah, it happens in pickleball, and rally scoring too makes it really tough, right? It's like you just get so much variance in results that one thing I'm realizing with rally is like you just have to play. It lends itself to. I mean, you're gonna get tight at the end in terms of the score. It's gonna be 18-16, 19-17. It's gonna get there almost every single match. So it's whoever starts playing those big points best at the end is really what makes all the difference.
Hey, let's just talk about how we're sitting here having a lovely podcast and we're watching James Blake play a dream breaker.
I thought it was going to be better if we just didn't acknowledge that the whole time. It's like number four in the world in tennis, like playing singles out here.
Playing against Graham, I don't even know what his name is.
Yeah, D'Amico.
The Florida
Smash guy.
Graham D'Amico, Florida Smash guy.
And every time I casually look over, I see James Blake jumping like a huge vertical, hitting overheads, like angling him off the court. Yes. The guy's a beast.
He looks like a gazelle still.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. He used to bludgeon ground strokes with a tennis racket. Now he's using an Ace of Spades paddle. I don't want to play that guy in anything.
No. Better overhead, James Blake with that paddle, or Daniel De La Rosa with that paddle?
Good. Yeah. I don't have an answer for that.
Better angles by James, probably harder still by De La Rosa, which is crazy.
Talking about paddles, I hate talking about paddles, but I had this thought the other day. What do you think about paddles?
Your thought was what we think about paddles?
No, I hope his thought was just thinking to himself, AJ, what do you think about paddles?
My only thought, you know how some of these paddles are so hard right now. If you think the paddles, just because we brought up the Ace, are the paddles getting too hard?
There has to be a threshold.
Yeah. I think it's too much right now.
My only thing is I'm just hypersensitive to anything that might lead to less offense. So some of the paddles are so hard now. Sometimes I'm a little sheepish of speeding up.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Because that thing's coming back.
Yes.
90 miles an hour. I can't react. You know, it's either going to come through my chest because nobody is even trying to keep it in anymore.
Yeah.
They're just going to hit it as hard as I can,
I think Callan Dawson started that. Every single one of his counters is going out.
It's going to the fence.
Every single one, but he hits them very hard.
Yeah, it's hard to move. Yeah,
hard to lay off of. I don't know that they're too hard yet, but we're kind of hitting that point. And it's just, again, anything that deters me from speeding up the ball.
Yeah, you don't like.
Just my ears perk up and I'm get like, this shouldn't be a thing.
This shouldn't be a thing. No, and I think it's important to note, like, some people think cool weather, you know, maybe a little altitude offensive barrage, it works, but you got to be careful. Those counters come back pretty quick too.
That's so true.
So it's a fine line for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's getting quick because Big H and I played Deckel and Callan, and Adam, you know better than anybody how big Deckel can serve when he wants to hit it.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, nowadays, like, everybody's going for broke on serve. It feels like the serves are so much bigger. And if you don't hit a decent return, that third, it's almost like, you know, first strike tennis where you're hitting a big first serve and looking for a big forehand. It's changed the game, really. It's not, and even with the paddles where they're at now, like, we just got blitzed. Like, it was cool weather. Like, they just hit massive serves. Our returns weren't deep enough, and Deck was just hitting rippy forehands that are, like, now with the grid as well. Like, they're dipping at your ankles when you're at the kitchen line, which is, you know, going fast.
Yeah.
So the game's just changed quite a bit, and I don't know if it's too far, or if you just have to adapt and get better, or
there'll be changes as we go. But anything to make this sport less like tennis, I'm basically in favor.
Yeah.
If we have to go to wood paddles,
no, it's
dude,
I'm
I
in
think
favor.
Be so fun.
But,
I think it'd be so fun.
I know that won't happen, but
I'm coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming back with wood paddles.
If everyone has to play with a pro light,
if it goes to touch, there's no spin.
If there's no spin, I'm coming back for sure. But balance is my word. You have to balance it out because the sports are connected, but they must be different. Like AJ said, I totally agree with that. And if you're just able to pop over from tennis and hit the same stroke and hit a similar type ball, I just don't think that's a great situation.
Yeah.
Anything but tennis. If I could rename the sport, I'd probably rename
anything
it.
But tennis.
I'd probably call it not tennis.
Not tennis.
Actually, I know they're making a video game or whatever. I want, you know, what they're going to have, like, you know, if you play Madden, there's ratings.
Sure,
there's speed, power, whatever ratings. Well, somebody said recently my closing speed rating is probably 99.
Okay.
Closing speed in terms of just, like, zero transition.
Just
area.
Attack.
Yeah.
Yes.
Drop, get
zero
in.
Transition get zone acknowledgement.
You can't be bad at transition zone if you don't ever hit any balls there.
Yes.
Facts.
So closing speed. But then I want a rating. I want there to be a not tennis rating. How good is your not tennis?
99. You're 99 on that.
I'm 99 up there. Because in general, I think some of the tennis habits that people have, I think some of the players that haven't exhausted their old tennis habits are actually kind of falling off in the game. And so the ones that are the early adapters that have gotten rid of that stuff are the ones that are climbing the ranks right now.
You got an example?
So, like, you look at Big H.
Yeah.
Big Ed just has great knot tennis.
Yeah.
He's rising fast right now. Mm-hmm. I see Anna Bright down there dancing her head off. I don't even know this seems like a very close dream breaker.
It does.
But I think she was one of the adapters to get rid of her tennis. Shorten up her strokes almost immediately. I think everyone noticed. And then you look at some of the old guard females that you could see, you know, not to name any, calling it out, but there's some that are starting to fall towards the back of the top 10, and you might say, well, there's too much tennis habits, there's too much swing.
Yeah.
Baby Dill, there's a good one.
Baby Dill's got great knot tennis.
Great knot tennis.
Again, 90-99 knot tennis.
Yeah.
I think it really, for the tennis players that are coming in, you know, to kind of squeeze that out of their system as fast as they can, and the ones that are continuing to play tennis on a pickleball court, they're kind of falling behind.
Yeah.
I like it. I mean, that's a great thought from a 99 knot tennis,
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, exactly. I'd want that rating, too, if I...
I got the NT high. Robert's got high knot tennis.
Yeah. I think with Dill... I don't know why I'm thinking. Like, it has nothing to do with really much of anything other than the fact not tennis. But, like, not having the big, long stroke in tennis. Like, his stroke's so short, but he still gets so much pop on it.
Yep.
And I think that's a big not tennis shot.
Yes.
Short stroke.
James Blake just ripped a forehand.
And laughing at his opponent.
I wish I knew the score.
I mean, how old is James Blake? Is he, like, 40? Maybe early 40s?
Yeah, it looks pretty good, though.
He looks quite in shape.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow, that was match point.
God, he just pointed to the heavens, too.
He just pointed to biggest moment of his career,
just pointed
obviously.
To the heavens. Got mobbed.
Passing Graham
DiMicco. Got mobbed on the court.
Winning the owner's tournament in a dream breaker, you know, winning a grand slam in tennis, it's pretty damn same level.
Yeah.
That was actually got exciting. I think Georgia Johnson's team is the champion. Georgia Johnson, great knot tennis.
The Georgia Peaches.
Georgia Peaches, I like that.
That's their team name. Yeah, she does have solid knot tennis.
Great knot tennis.
Man, she just has her little elbows connected to her ribs, and she just has all this stuff.
Keeps
she
tight.
Covers her body and her shoulders so well with the attacks. I agree.
I love that.
Who else knot tennis?
Who
else top five knot tennis?
Well... The thing is, they're just it's developing the not tennis strokes, I guess. I mean, you could look at you could look at Matt. Matt Wright's got some. Got
yeah,
some
he,
not
he's shed
stuff.
He's shed a lot of his tennis.
Yes,
you got to shed the tennis.
He pretty much copies everything I do, but
yeah,
he's gotten a nice little backhand flick that he never had before.
Well, if you study your idols long enough, you'll develop some shots.
I don't know. Everyone up there is kind of figuring it out.
Yeah.
And if you don't go drastically not tennis, at least like mash it together a little bit. Don't stick full tennis. I'm with it. I like this.
Yeah.
Thoughts about tonight? Who's taking the crown?
Well, we got the challenger first, right? Which is the slice and the breakers. So we have Susanna Barr, Emily Ackerman playing Vivian Glosman, and Eva Radzikowska.
Mm-hmm.
They've already played once, and I think the slice beat them 3-1 in the semis, right?
They did.
Yeah. So it's, you know, especially in MLP format, especially for more money on the line, tough to beat a team twice. And we'll probably see different matchups. I think I would guess if you're the breakers, right?
Yeah, I think, yes. So the breakers were, they had not lost a team match yet until they lost that semifinals to the slice. So I like that generalized statement of, in this format, tough to beat a team twice. Yeah. And I think the breakers will make the adjustment as well, even though, you know, slice have been playing pretty solid. Connor Garnett's been playing well. Susanna Barr's been doing her thing. And, you know, Ryler DeHart and Emily Ackerman have stepped up nicely too.
Yeah.
Emily's game's gotten a lot more well-rounded. Than I remember back in the day. So, you know, it should be a good one.
They're super solid top to bottom just as a team. And, I mean, obviously, Glosman, her first MLP in the super final, pretty solid pickup as the last pick in the shuffle draft, right?
Oh, extremely solid. Yeah.
Yeah,
I
mean, I
think some people passed on her. Some people had a chance.
Stop.
No, some people in their shuffle draft had a chance to pick her.
He doesn't know what he's saying.
That cuts a little deep, AJ.
Wait, what?
His team could have.
We picked. Oh, we literally picked right before they picked.
That's right. That's who I was talking about. I was talking about
so
you.
So you cut deep intentionally. Got it.
Well, no, I just remembered.
Yeah.
I had heard that teams had passed.
No, because she was the last one. She was the last pick.
I mean, you don't want to hear this, but you're better than
no, but,
you handled my shit pretty well. I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
Did.
I think
really
obviously a talented girl. But people like that, I think they adapt better, too, if they come in with a friend. I know she's friends with AB. And
yep.
The players that are coming in with kind of someone to guide them into the
– it's a big deal.
Yeah, into the sport is helpful. So it's not a surprise that she's kind of gotten a chance already. And
no, I think that's huge, AJ. I mean, to have someone hold your hand right at the beginning and you don't have to deal with – weeks or months of kind of getting to that point, they can just kind of bring you to that point right off the bat is a big deal. And I'll tell you what, she is a physical presence. I mean, if she's not 6 foot, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
So, and like,
right.
Athletic looking. So, yeah. I mean, she has a nice skill set and some nice tools at her disposal to continue to get better.
That'll be fun. But the real match,
yeah.
Actually, I had this thought the other day. It was kind of some poetic justice. Stone and I talked about this briefly last night. There had to have been a memo sent out about what constitutes an out ball.
Yes.
And what is an in ball.
Yes.
Because
yeah.
I think none of the players
none
got
of
this,
us know.
None of the players got this memo.
Yeah, what?
This only went to the refs. Obviously, we all saw the moment against Pioneers, Mad Drops was that semifinal? That was group play.
But big point, end of the
big
match.
Big point.
Match point.
Match point for the men's match. Ball goes out. Video review calls it in because there's a little slice that they can see from the down the line, but the ball's
out
by pickleball standards. No compression, whatever. All the players are still playing by that standard. That ball's out.
Yeah.
Same thing happens in the Dream Breaker last night.
Yeah.
If you remember, Big H calls the ball out, hits the tape, calls the ball out. That ball is out.
Yeah.
By conventional standards, that's an out ball.
Yeah.
Made the right call. Video review looks at it. Tiny little slice covers the line when you look straight down the line on it. They call it in.
But isn't that part of the ball hovering over the line, right? Like, it's not actually touching the line.
Yes, that part of the ball is
it's
hovering,
just hovering
over the line.
Over,
but
yeah.
I think there was a memo that was sent out that nobody saw.
Well,
that changed this rule, but none of the players knew about it. So everyone's calling balls the traditional way.
Well, we're not going to change how we call balls, right? It's weird.
Right. Well, H correctly called it out. But kind of some poetic justice where that was a big point for the Pioneers to then go on and beat the Fives, allowing the Mad Drops to get in to the final.
Okay, yeah, that's
where
right.
I'm going
that's
with
right.
that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That was my thought.
Connect those dots. That was well done, AJ.
I'm a dot connector.
Yeah,
I don't
that's
know
right.
That.
Yeah, so I believe that Brooks Wiley, the MLP commissioner, he did – I think I saw it on Twitter, actually – he like posted a picture of a ball and basically said this will be in.
Yeah,
so
saw that.
So I think that there was some communication, but maybe not enough. I really have no idea.
Well, I saw that tweet. I just didn't know like what it meant or like I didn't follow like
if
the
it
whole
was
thing.
Official.
Yeah, or if
it, just
yeah,
thought
yeah,
it was
yeah.
like a thought.
So
is this ball in?
We're thinking
I thought
about
it was like a fun poll.
Yeah, it was a poll.
So I think what they were trying to do is to not let the call on the field court have any like not affect what the referee is looking at. So it doesn't matter what the call was. They were just going to use the video evidence, and so they were trying to give an example of this ball is going to be considered in, out, whatever it is, and give an example of it because they're not going to use call on the court affects anything because they got higher resolution cameras. So, I think that's
interesting because, I don't know. I didn't feel like the shots I was seeing for the challenge actually looked like super high resolution. Did they? Like –
I've seen higher.
Yeah.
They were more. It's supposed to be 120 FPS.
Yeah.
Frames per second.
That's
I don't even know what the hell that means.
You don't know what that means?
Yeah. But I mean, I know what it means, but I don't know if 120 is good.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Then
30 is normal. So 120 just means you can slow it down four times.
God, look at
the
this
normal.
Guy.
Kohler's shocked that you don't know what that is.
Kohler builds tiny houses. He knows about frames per second. I mean, this man is.
Well, we know
I know
he's
a little bit about a lot of things.
He's a film director. Gotcha. Back to the Chet Subaru days.
Well, that's true.
Director, producer, talent, post-production. Does it all.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Except flips and lobs.
Master of lobs.
I think we've talked about this, but Kohler, remember when we played, Mesa? Like, first PPA ever.
First PPA ever.
And I remember, like, we played a men's match. I think it was, we were playing Lung and Zane Affleck. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
And I remember we were on one side. This might be your first, no, probably not your first third shot lob ever, but it was the first one I've ever seen. And, like, you know, I had played with the Dormans, and it's taught very traditional pickleball.
Right.
And I remember, like, I served, they returned to you. You throw up a third shot lob.
And it worked.
It blew my mind. I was like, what? I was like, dude, you can't do that. No, it definitely didn't work. It didn't work. You missed, like, either missed it.
It didn't work.
It did not.
Oh, that's surprising. I just assume every third shot lob I've hit.
But that was the first one I ever saw, and I was just, like, flabbergasted that was your shot selection. And you're like, yeah, sorry, man.
Sorry, man. I didn't know I wasn't allowed to do that.
Yeah. He's like, what do you mean? I'm just – but look. No, it's silly, though, because you actually – do like pickleball is interesting because there's not a set way to play. There are things that were like lobs a big deal now, and it wasn't, call it 2 years ago.
Yes,
you know, and now you can do third shot lobs. And I think I saw Simone hit a lob winner the other day.
Clean winner.
She did. She did. She absolutely did.
It's a legit shot.
I get serious lob envy from Simone.
It's paddle.
It is. That has changed a lot.
It's like a real play in paddle. That's where she got it from because her brother's really good at paddle. So like lobbing and then driving.
Yep.
You lob, push him back, and then drive the next ball. It's like a real good play there.
That's true.
And then crash. No mid-court play.
Closing speed.
Closing speed. 99.
Also.
That is a play. Also, that is a set play.
Yeah, third shot lob, non-tennis.
Third shot lob, drive, crash. I mean, I'm going to put a compilation of myself doing that.
I like that.
All right, so what do we think about this Pioneers Mad Drops?
My thing, because I've seen both of them play a couple of times, Julian has to play big.
Yeah.
So Julian played massive in Mesa. He has a little slight volatility in his game.
He's been impatient lately.
Right.
Been
so really so he's got to play big because they need him, especially in this type of format.
I think
so.
big is in just solid. Like, big is in not go for too much, because that's what I see, like, lately with him, is just going for a little bit too much too early, it feels like.
Yeah, no,
it's that hard balance of being aggressive and also being solid. Like, we know in mix, like, it's so hard to do, right?
It's delicate.
To find that line.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like he went psycho at the beginning, became a little more well-rounded, and now he's falling back into his old ways a little bit, you know? So,
way to put it. Yeah.
Balance in life. Balance is my word. Balance. It's so important, and it's so hard. And it's so
I hate
hard.
Balance,
that's
too.
One of my favorite. That's one of my least favorite words,
yeah.
actually.
God.
Can I say that?
I agree.
Yeah.
I actually agree.
That's one of my biggest pet peeves.
It's so hard.
People saying there's a balance to stuff.
Yeah, I say
it's like,
it a lot.
No shit.
I say
there's
it
a balance to everything.
Well, don't listen to me commentate. I say balance a lot.
I like your commentary.
I do too.
I hate that phrase.
I think it's pretty insightful.
I hate that phrase. All right, noted. Yeah. I'm going to put it
not
in my notebook.
Not as much as do lunch, but yeah. I hate that phrase.
Do lunch.
I don't know why. I said
you want to do lunch?
I said that in a Liv Borsky interview or something.
I got to say, I got a lot of heat for that. My least favorite commentary thing is something Dave Fleming does, and when he says double snowman at 8-8, I just get so disgusted.
Double snowman.
I get so disgusted. All right, made a double snowman. Oh, just stop.
Wait, what's a double snowman?
It's like 8-8.
Oh, it's 8-8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We got snowman. He says double
snowman. Snowman is like when you get pocket snowman. Eights in poker. Yeah. You get snowman.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like plural.
Yeah, snowman.
You should say snowmen, you're saying.
Double
Robert.
I just hate that saying, period.
But snowman? Double snowman is the same as snowmen.
But it technically should be double snowman, no? Double snowman?
Snowmen,
right?
It's there's just the plural of snowman. It's very basic. Snowmen.
Very basic
slow
grammar.
Snowmen.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm saying.
So
I just want to say, when I first started playing with Robert, this is way past this topic, but
yeah,
there was a point where I vividly remember,
yeah,
probably in the backdraw match. I barely know this guy at the time.
Yeah.
Mind you, first tournament, just met him 3 days earlier. Tried something dumb. He just looks at me and goes, don't do that shit.
No, I didn't.
Swear to God.
Did I really?
Vividly remember.
Stop
this.
It.
You're on the left side. I'm on the right side. It's on that court. We're playing Ernesto and DJ Young.
Ernesto Fajardo.
I remember that, yeah.
Lost a heartbreaker, 16-14, and Robert's like, don't do that shit. I was like, "Who is this guy? What is he telling me?" I mean, I don't know what I'm doing.
But you've played much more than I have, for sure.
At that point, I'd played more, but I'd play more lower levels.
Yeah.
How many tournaments did y'all play together? I didn't even know you guys ever played.
No, that was like first PPA. Did we play after that at all?
Because we were gonna do Cali Open, and then you hurt your knee.
That's where you disbanded.
No, wait, when you passed Tyler Lung 37 times in one game
in singles, and then I popped my knee,
and then you popped your knee.
Popped my meniscus.
That sounds about right. I remember that match.
I remember you sitting there watching that.
It was like 16-14 or something.
Blackwood, Cam. No, she's not.
Yeah, in a game to 11. Yeah.
In a game to 11, yeah. 16-14, correct. Yeah, I remember that.
Are my shorts riding up right now?
Oh, bro, you're bulging hard, bro.
Yeah.
Don't say that word.
Is that what she said?
No. But just, it feels like somehow my shorts have ridden up way too far.
Yeah, they're high and tight for sure.
And my,
if you're packing,
my thighs
you know?
Are, no, no. my thighs are just... They're too white right now.
Yeah,
to be shown.
So, Robert, apparently my thighs were on the podcast the other day. I didn't even realize it when I was getting the baby, and I had the thighs.
I didn't notice.
Well, you said something about it. My mom said you said something on the podcast about it. Anyway.
Well, if I catch a good glimpse of thighs, I'm going to talk about
it. That's right.
I don't remember it, but I don't remember a lot of stuff.
I just don't know how to.
I don't remember saying don't do that shit. That's funny.
Oh, swear to God.
was I serious or joking around?
You were dead serious.
Robert, I love it.
Robert, you came in the sport. You were intense.
I was intense. That's true.
You still are. Like, you're an intense competitor.
Yeah. Don't do that shit.
You came into the sport ready to kick some ass.
Yeah.
And so you were there to win. And when we were not winning,
you
were displeased.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, everyone comes in like that. Can they maintain it is the problem.
Yeah. You don't want to maintain that intensity, really.
Do you not?
I was a psycho at the beginning, dude.
I was way too intense. No?
I mean, it was great. I mean, you rose through the ranks faster
than... I wanted to win, but a little aggressive.
Yeah. A
little aggressive.
That's an interesting point, though. How many pros do you think are out there to win that think they can be the best in the world?
I never thought that.
You never thought that?
I never thought that I could be the best in the world.
Because I think it's a small number.
I think it's a very small number.
I think it's.
Who would you say thinks that? I would say Riley for sure.
Of course, Riley.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Ignatowicz probably.
Definitely Ignatowicz. Definitely Rettenmeier.
Rettenmeier too?
I think Rettenmeier.
Well, he's just the wild horse.
Yeah, he's a wild horse.
He's kind of blindly thinks.
A lot of stuff.
He probably thinks he could walk on water.
No, I have no doubt. That
you asked that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I could do that.
Yeah. That's funny. That's true,
dude. I like Travis's personality.
Oh, he's great. No, I
think it's good stuff.
He's absolutely great.
I enjoyed playing with him. I'm playing another one with him this year. He's a funny guy, but I think you look at the people that are there. Seems like such a staying power at the top.
Yeah,
Ben and Colin are winning everything. Matt and Riley are winning everything. How many teams really think they can?
Matt's an interesting one because I don't think he feels like he could be number one, nor does he care.
Yeah, I don't know about him.
I think
at the same time, he has something inside of him that just doesn't want anyone else to have
to
that.
Overtake.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. Very true.
Absolutely.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I think he might. Yeah, I wonder if he hates losing or loves winning more. I don't know, but he wants to do both of those.
And also doesn't want
and winning.
Doesn't want other people to win.
No, he does not. He does not.
It feels like it's more about that than him winning.
Yeah, I mean, if you make it to your mid-40s and you still have that fire, I mean, he's – obviously a competitor.
Yeah.
I think it'll take, but I think it'll take more people that want to be, you know, at the helm, I guess, to come into the sport. I think there's a lot of pros that are kind of just happy to get up there.
Yeah.
Happy to be there, and they're happy to be making a living playing pickle. But
well, you hear it in the interviews all the time. It's just, like, I think the Jaume Martinez-Vic guy, you heard Dizon say it. I think I heard someone else say it.
What's that?
Like,
happy to be in the mix.
You get into the semi or you make a championship Sunday, the first time you're kind of happy to be there, and then it happens a couple more times and you have to believe. So, I mean, I think it might have even been like that for me at the beginning, you know, where it's just – I mean, you can almost, like, see them. They're kind of joking with the top seeds, and they have this, like, kind of loose, happy-to-be-there energy on court. Yeah. And then if they get there a few more times and it doesn't change, that's an issue. So I think that's a good point.
Where do you fall?
I still want to be up there.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's still a goal of mine. That was the goal from day one, was to be, I mean, whether I have the discipline to be number one,
yeah,
that might be a question, because I'm, you know, I.
You like to get creative.
I like the creativity aspect. I kind of, you know.
Innovation.
I like to chase, you know, new ideas, I guess, about the game, and sometimes that can set me back, but.
When's the last time you were in the gym, AJ?
Don't know about that place. not familiar with that place.
Yeah, never heard of it.
Yeah, you know, I've never been a gym guy.
I will tell you, AJ stretches more than any male I know. I'll tell you that.
Stretcher.
Other than maybe Andre Dayescu, who stretches a whole lot and does really difficult yoga poses, AJ is probably right there up there with big stretcher.
Well, the stretching thing started, obviously, I was doing the construction work, and, you know, I'm literally just laboring over 2x4s for 8 hours a day in Vegas and then playing 3 hours of pickle at night. So that's where the stretching thing started. I realized I was going to get injured if I didn't start stretching. So it was more of a preservation thing, and now I've continued to do that.
I did not expect it to come from a construction job. I thought you were going to say, like, hockey or something.
No, I never stretched in hockey.
Interesting.
Never. I didn't stretch. I tell you, I didn't stretch until I was 17 years old. Like, wouldn't even warm up before the game, stretch afterward. I just didn't, you know, I didn't. I haven't had a very good physical regimen my entire
regimen
athletic career. So can't say that that's benefited me, but I might poke around a gym this summer.
Have you ever stretched in a gym?
I did this weekend.
All right, there you go.
This weekend.
There you go.
Yeah.
Not going to lift heavy things, but definitely going to stretch in there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just, it's never been my thing. I could stand to maybe get into it. But
you can't bulk up. You got to stay nimble.
You got to stay, yeah. Bulk, you got to be kind of more cut and fluid than strong, I guess, I think.
Yeah, 100%.
Functional strength.
Functional strength.
Yeah, you don't need to just be benching. All right, fellas, I hate to do it, but I'm going
to roll.
I got to roll
out.
Oh,
good, man. I feel like this was a fun little catch-up.
Yeah, I got to commentate. You guys just keep going.
No, I got to pee really bad. This is a solid time to cut. People like shorter episodes, let's be honest. They like the action-packed short punch.
This was long overdue as well. I appreciate you boys having me on.
Yeah, sunny California.
Yeah.
We should probably get somebody. Can we get them to take a picture of us? Can you do a picture really fast with your headset on?
Yeah.
Let's see if they can take a picture of us.
Alex Trong did it.
Okay, we should say bye. We'll go ahead and say bye, guys. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Later.